Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, I'm delighted and honored that you chose to join here today for today's episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love. And as my wife just said, this is Randy Dean. Love, love, love that you gave me the honor of your time, whatever day this may be, Saturday or Sunday, or perhaps you're listening in the archived version of this. Whatever the case, thanks for your time. I promise to make good use of your time by talking to you about being alive to love, putting our expectations where they belong, and that is on the love of life and the love of God. Let me dive right into it today. My purpose today is going to be twofold. I have two basic words that I want to center everything I'm going to talk to you about today, and that is, first of all, I want you to learn how to live your life expecting love. Learn to live your life expecting love. I've said to you before here on the broadcast that I believe that all of us, every last one of us, are hardwired for love. We were created by love. We are created for love. And in love, our life will find its completion and its full design. Love is what we're about. God is love, and those who dwell in God and dwell in love dwell in each other. Those two things are one and the same thing, love and God and love. It's all in the same category. It's all in the same mix. And out of that love, we live and breathe and have our being. We are creatures of love. We are creatures designed for love. As such, we ought to, first of all, expect love. I am well known throughout a group of people throughout this region for this one slogan, if you will. It's one saying that has been burning in my mind and heart. I wrote it in my book, Radiance, some years ago. And that is this: I refuse to lower my expectations to the level of my disappointments. I refuse to lower my expectations to the level of my disappointments. There are a legion of disappointments in my life. I have more disappointments than I care to count, and I refuse to spend my time counting them. I can get caught in it like anybody, but the truth is the disappointments of my life are legion. I'm like anybody. I have not had more or less than most people alive. I have had my fair share of disappointments from people that I expected would never disappoint. And I've had my fair share of disappointments from people that I thought, well, that could happen. And then again, I've been surprised by not only people, but circumstances that were utterly disappointing. So my life, as yours is, has had its moments and its time of disappointment. If I choose to make the priorities of my life based on my disappointments or any negative factor that's in my life, I'm going to find myself in a place of real entrapment. I'm going to find myself cornered, and then I'm going to look out from that corner and I'm going to blame others. It's kind of like the old adage about a cornered squirrel. You don't want to do that. That squirrel will come out fighting. We are the same way. We'll come out fighting and we won't even know what it is we're fighting if we lower our expectations to the level of our disappointments. If we keep counting disappointments, we'll paint ourselves into the corner of an emotional room and we'll start fighting outward even though we don't know who or what we're fighting. I would submit to you that I'm probably speaking to somebody right now who's been wondering, who am I mad at? Why am I so mad? Why am I constantly raging? Why am I out there fighting strangers, fighting complete strangers, people in traffic, people in stores, people in businesses? Well, I would propose that you're probably fighting because you feel cornered in some way, and you probably have been in a place where, out of disappointments, you've been counting those disappointments instead of reorganizing your life around an expectation beyond your disappointments. Join me in being refusal to lower your expectations to the level of your disappointments. Expect love. That's this first half of today's broadcast. I'm challenging you to live your life with the expectation of love. There's an adage out there called falling in love. Now, I've been back and forth with that over my lifetime, and I will admit that there's been a time when I was adamantly opposed to talking about falling in love, that it seemed to me that that was a dangerous proposition. I used to say, I'll get to what I'm saying now in a moment, but I want to tell you where I've come from in this. I used to say that if you can fall in love, well, then maybe you can fall out of love. I want to correct that. I want to mildly dial that toward what I'm saying here about expecting love. I believe that we all ought to be reaching for the best things in life. I believe we ought to reach hard for the best things in life. I think we ought to be reaching for those things that are the most appealing, the most attractive to us. I think we ought to be reaching for those things that are bringing us life, bringing us joy, bringing us happiness, giving us a sense of purpose. And I don't know anything higher than love. There is no higher thing than love, really. And in expecting love, I truly believe that you can fall in love. Now, let me add a little bit of a fine print to that. Now, if you're married, I challenge you, fall in love with your spouse every day. Don't go out looking for somebody else to fall in love with. You've got a project sitting right there in your living room with you. You've got a project and a person right there around you that is possibly expecting love and not getting it from you. Fall in love again today. Fall in love with your spouse again today. I would say this about parents to their children. Fall in love with those kids every day. Yeah, they're going to disappoint you. Oh, boy. You know, my kids used to say, Dad, punish me, ground me, do anything, but don't tell me you're disappointed. Yeah, your kids can disappoint you, and most likely, if you're paying attention, they are. But no matter what, fall in love with that child. And to that end, about falling, let me explain. I genuinely believe that it's possible to lean toward a high priority, lean toward a powerful value, lean so much toward it that gravity will take over. And if you do fall, you'll fall toward the goal. You'll fall toward that which is the highest and the best. If you're going to fall, at least fall forward. At least fall in the momentum of the direction that you want to go. So expect love, and if you will, let's fall in love again. Fall in love with your job. Fall in love with your house. Fall in love with your yard. Fall in love with your neighbor. Fall in love. Go ahead, lean toward love and fall in love with things that are around you. Fall in love with winter. You know, I read a study here recently that folks who have a perpetual winter, almost perpetual, that's, I suppose, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, the region in and around Europe that finds itself locked into a majority of the season, or the majority of the years is a cold season, that folks have learned there to celebrate winter rather than commiserate winter. Yeah, we're here in Wisconsin, and I love to listen to my friends in Texas and Georgia and a few other southern places, Florida, talk about, oh, it got cold today. And then I'll ask them, define cold for me, and they'll talk about 40s or 50s, and I just shake my head. I love them, but baby, that ain't cold. That's summertime. In Wisconsin, we have a habit of commiserating. Oh, it's going to snow. Did you say the S word? Snow. Well, listen, if that's the way you're going to live your life, then you're going to live about at least a third, if not more, of the year in a miserable position, miserable condition. Fall in love with winter. Find something to love about it. My wife's from Texas, and so we've spent 14 years of our marriage together, out of our 45 years together. We spent 14 years in Texas, and while we were there, I so had such a longing to move back to Wisconsin, and we did back in 1988. But while we were there, one of the things I used to do, and yes, I am a crazy guy, just a little bit. You know, the big ice dispensers that you'll see in front of convenience stores. I would once in a great while, I would stick my head inside one of those ice, I don't know what they are, ice dispenser, ice box. I'd stick my head in there and just breathe real deep until I could feel the hairs in my nose kind of freeze up, and it would remind me of Wisconsin. So, yeah, that's me. That's who I am. I have learned, and I don't practice it perfectly, I've learned to get outside in the wintertime and just enjoy it. It's there. It's not going to go away. My complaining's not going to change it. And my point here is I'm expecting love no matter what the season, no matter what the reason, no matter who the person is. I'm going to expect love. I'm going to love what it is that I'm standing in front of. I'm going to love winter. I'm going to love summer. I'm going to love spring and fall. Those are the purposes that can come out of an expectation. So when you are going to live your life in the value of love, then you might as well determine that in that value of love, you're going to expect love, and you're going to expect the life of love. You're going to expect to be loved. That's another part of this. Expect to be loved. Don't surrender to the notion that nobody loves you. Somebody out there loves you. They just haven't figured out how to express it yet. And perhaps they're waiting for your armor to drop. Maybe they're waiting for you to stop being so defensive. Maybe they're waiting for you to expect love and just internally know that you have an expectation of love, and they have a love for you, and it's time to express it. So when you expect love, I think you set up an attraction for someone who may not even know how to fully express it. But when you set up your heart for an expectation, I think you do set up yourself for being an attractive person for love. I'm telling you that marriage is as good or as bad as you make it daily. And if you will learn daily to fall in love with that person you look at every day, I'm convinced falling in love doesn't mean you got to go find somebody else to love. Falling in love means loving that person that's sitting right there by you every dang day. Cut the BS. No BS. No more BS in yourself. No more telling yourself that love can't live in that house again. Expect love. Give the expectation that you will be loved, and give the person that you're aiming love at, give them the notion that they can expect love from you. We're absolutely wired. I think every cell of our body is wired for love. You know, when my dog greets me, you know, everybody has an experience, I'm sure, with a pet, whether it's a dog or a cat. That animal experiences your love when you come up and scratch it behind the ear. So that's why that dog, my dog in particular, comes running to me when I come home, because that dog expects love from me. They don't flinch when I raise my hand, because I've never hit that dog. I love that dog, and that dog knows that I'm going to come scratch you behind the ear. I'm going to come pat you on the belly. That's why my dog will roll over and just expose their little pink belly to me. So rub that belly. This belly ain't going to rub itself. That's how the world we're living in is created. It's created in an expectation of love. So if you're not expecting love, stop cheating yourself. Start expecting it. And then it'll lead to the second word of my time with you today, and that is, let's experience love. The experience of love, that sense of thrill, that sense on the inside of you, that metaphysical, that transcendent, that ascending value that flies up in you. As a kid, we called it butterflies, and maybe as adults we should still call it butterflies. Do you know what it is in the last few days? Do you know what it is in the last few years to have that experience, that internal knowing that love is worth it all? I believe it was our last broadcast, I said, love is the only thing worth everything. Love is the only thing worth everything. Everything else is just BS. Give yourself to the experience of love. I don't think love is such an ethereal, elusive experience at all. In fact, I do believe we can set ourselves in motion for the experience every day. We can set ourselves up to be in an experience of love. You can decide to love. You can, as I said earlier, you can fall in love, but you got to start leaning. The experience of love, I think, you know, psychologists can tell you that it can be measured. They can put you on an electrocardiogram measurement, and they can tell you how your body is responding when you see pictures of loved ones, or you see somebody in the room that gives you that sense of, oh, I love that person so much. Our body responds to it. So I think if it's done in a spontaneous way, I think you can also set it up in a determined way to determine the experience. I believe we all determine our experiences. If we get up in the morning and say, oh boy, what a lousy day. Oh, I just hate getting up on a Monday morning. By the way, while I'm recording this broadcast, it's an early Monday morning. I haven't even had my second cup of coffee. Yeah, I know. Pray for me. It's tough. Life is hard all over. The hardship is real. But if I determine my experience is going to be blah and unloving, that my experience is going to be miserable, if I'm going to work and I'm determined that, yep, I expect my coworkers to be A, B, C, and D, then that's going to be my experience. So I spent the first 15 minutes of this broadcast talking about expecting love, and I want to spend this last time about challenging you to get out there and experience love. Have the experience of love. Do something that you know will put you in a place where love is experienced. Look somebody right in the eye. Now, here's a practice of my life that I have come to delight in, and that is look somebody right in the eye. And I know you got to be careful about who you do this with. So practice with family, practice especially with your spouse or your significant other, somebody you're highly committed to. Look them right in the eye. Don't break eye contact. Don't look down at your shoestrings. Don't look at the wall behind them. Look them right in the eye and say, I love you. That little moment all by itself can give you that delightful experience of love. I've shared this with a lot of different groups of people, different venues, but in particular, one of the places that I've had the great delight in sharing this with is with the youth camps of junior and senior high students. And you can imagine, of course, that's, you know, that giddy time of life when love is this brand new thing and there's a whole lot of disappointment and there's a whole lot of elation and a whole lot of just hormonal stuff. There's just a whole lot of teenage going on around the whole idea of love. So it's fun to work with teenagers on this. And what I have done in youth camps over the past several years is I've said, all right, we're going to experience some love here, students. I want you to find somebody with whom it's safe. And I want you to one-on-one, especially if you got a really good friend around here or somebody else that's been somebody that you really feel like, and again, I do this with some care and some supervision. Don't jump to any conclusions here. But I do tell them, find somebody that's close by and just look them right in the eye. And without blinking, without hedging, without dodging eye contact, say, I love you. And the view of that little experiment is absolutely stunning. The laughter, the positive vibes, the nervousness, the whole sense of, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? All of that, it goes on in the room and it's beautiful. Now, I say all that to tell you this. For the past, I guess it's 3 or 4 years, one of my grandchildren has been at a youth camp where I've been the main speaker, and I've practiced this very thing. Look somebody right in the eye. Don't break eye contact. Look them right in the eye and say, I love you. Well, my granddaughter has grabbed that. She has held on to that now. I think it's 4 years. And ever since I first shared that to this very, this last weekend, I saw her. She says, hey, Papa, and she stops, and her eyes lock with mine, and she says, I love you. Can you feel my emotion right now? Can you tell that I'm smiling from ear to ear, coast to coast? Let me just pause a moment and just breathe that air for a moment. That experience lights up my day. And if I could just bottle that experience and put it on the market, I'd be a multi-billionaire, because that experience of love is like nothing else in life. Experience love. Expect it, number one. And number two, Go out there and put yourself in the line of fire to experience love. So what that's going to mean is that you're going to need some empathy. You're going to need to be empathetic. Let me tell you a definition of empathetic. Here it is. Empathy. It means to enter the pathos, P-A-T-H-O-S, pathos. That the word pathos in a larger sense means the feelings, the thoughts, the experience of others. That's what empathy is. You know, that's what the incarnation is. That's what God did when he became flesh in Jesus Christ. It was the ultimate empathy. God in him, in all of his knowledge, in all of his fullness of knowing everything, said, I don't know one thing, and I'm going to enter. I'm going to enter the human condition. I'm going to experience it. Empathy means to enter the feelings, the pathos, the feelings, thoughts, experience of others, to genuinely attempt an authentic understanding of others, to think beyond our own needs, to think beyond our own wants, and to think beyond our own experience, to make a choice larger than our opinion. And love is that choice. It says, you know, if I could just say it in my own vocabulary here, cut the BS. Stop trying to BS other people about how you have more needs than they do. Stop trying to BS people into thinking that your pain is worse than theirs. Stop trying to BS everybody that they've got to listen to you constantly. Stop the BS. Enter some empathy. Learn empathy. Make a choice larger than your own feelings. And love is that choice. Enter the feelings, the thoughts, and the experience of others. Genuinely attempt an authentic understanding of them. Think beyond your own needs. Think beyond your own wants. And think beyond your own experience. And when you make that choice, that's love. It is to say that, you know, there are scores of people groups in our culture today that so many of us have spent too much of our time damning them, condemning them, judging them, and making broad statements about whole people group categories. Well, they are always this way, and that's the way they always act, and they are always. Always. The word always, anytime that's in a sentence, you better ask yourself, is that really truth? Because otherwise I'm bearing false witness. They are not always doing or saying everything we think they are. To have an empathy is to learn an experience of somebody else. So your experience is valuable. Don't get me wrong. And somebody around you ought to be empathetic towards your experience. I'm absolutely convinced of that. But I'm also convinced of something called sowing and reaping, otherwise known as karma. So whatever you give is what you get. So if you're not getting much empathy, if you're not getting much understanding, perhaps it's because you need to sow. You need to give more of it. And I promise you, karma will come and bring it back to you. Don't convince yourself of the BS that nobody cares. The truth of the matter is there are more people around you that care than you may dare imagine. So give empathy. Enter the pathos, the feelings, the thoughts, and the experience of others. Pay attention. The word pay is important in that phrase. Pay it. Pay attention. It's going to cost you something. You may have to shut up. You may have to just zip your lip and open your ears. Pay attention. Give your time. Give a moment to somebody. Put your phone down. Look people in the eye. Experience love. Experience empathy. Because when you do, that experience is going to come back to you in wave after wave. In wave after wave, if you will allow it to do so. As I'm saying this, people who know me know that I call myself a sap. I get a lump in my throat. I can cry so easy. I can cry at the drop of a hat, and I will drop my own hat. And right there in that moment, talking about paying attention and giving attention, I caught that lump in my throat. I had to swallow hard because God knows, boy, oh boy, what would happen if people out there heard the no BS bishop on the air crying? Well, I'm managing me the best way I know how. And this whole subject of empathy is vital to me right now. It's vital to me at any time in my life, but especially in this particular space of my life. I'm challenging me to be as empathetic as I know how to be, to enter the thoughts and the experiences of others. As a pastor, I've spent the better part of a half a century pastoring, and I learned that if I make a big grouping of people, just clump them all together and make broad judgments about that group of people, I'm going to miss the opportunity to love somebody. But I've also learned that what the challenge in my life as a pastor, as a counselor, as a mentor, as a sponsor, whatever that case may be, if somebody's coming to me for help, I have chosen to minister to one person sitting in front of me. I don't care what you tell me you are. I don't care what you look like you are. I don't care what your clothes make you look like. I don't care what your language makes you look like. I refuse to categorize you in a group of people. I am challenging me to experience love by being able to be empathetic and just listen to one person sitting in front of me. When people ask me these rhetorical questions, well, what if so-and-so came to you and they asked about this or that? What would you say or do? I don't answer those questions. I answer it only in this way. I'll talk about that one person that's ever sat in front of me, that one person who came to me for help, that one person that I have had the genuine experience of having empathy for. Because when I'm truly entering empathy, I'm entering the experience of love. So today, as I close this broadcast for today, I'm challenging you to do two things. Get out there and expect love. Expect it coming your way. You are wired for love. You are created for love. You are not created to live in a loveless existence. And number two, get out there and experience some love. Experience love. Give yourself to empathy. Listen to people. Pay attention. And make sure that as you are expecting people to look you in the eye and love you, you give them that experience of looking them in the eye and loving you. This is Randy Dean. This is a pleasure for me. And again, as I started the broadcast today, I told you, it's an honor for you to give me your time. I love the fact that you are here, and I love doing this. See, that gives me value for what I'm doing here. That's why I'm saying, I'm Randy Dean, I'm a no BS bishop, I'm alive to love, and everything else is just potential BS. So I'm alive to love this broadcast, and I'm loving the fact that you joined us here today. May God bless you, may you have happy trails, get out there, expect and experience love. I'm alive to love, you do too. Get out there and be alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.